When you clearly see phenomena such as samsara and nirvana, and cause and effect as they exist, and at the same time, you see that all the phenomena you normally see or perceive do not exist, you have entered the path of the correct view of emptiness, thus delighting all the Buddhas. Beautiful. Beautiful poetry. When you clearly see phenomena such as samsara and nirvana, cause and effect as they exist, and at the same time you see that all phenomena we normally see or perceive do not exist, you have entered the correct path, the correct view of emptiness, thus delighting all the Buddhas. So what does this mean? Geshe-la's commentary is very brief. He says, in this stage, we need to accomplish the following two things. We need to negate the objects of negation, of emptiness, the things and phenomena we normally see or perceive. Okay, so there's only two things to do. This is one thing. We need to negate the objects of negation, of the things and the phenomena we normally see. So what are those objects of negation? They are the things we normally see. Yeah? The inherently existent things. That's what they are. So when through our meditations, our analysis, our contemplations, we have come to a non-finding of those objects, the things we normally see cannot be found, or we say the inherently existent objects we normally see, when we cannot find these things, then we've negated those objects. In other words, we've not found them. That's what negating them means. So that means we've gained an understanding of emptiness. We understand emptiness correctly. Okay, so this is one part of the correct view. And then, secondly, he says, we need to realize that the phenomena of samsara and nirvana and cause and effect all actually exist. So what does this mean? This means, for example, we talk about samsara. So what is a phenomenon of samsara? One phenomenon of samsara are the delusions. Yeah? The delusions create samsara. They're a product of samsara. They're part of samsara. They depend on samsara. Samsara depends on them. So nirvana. So how do we get to nirvana? We get through following the liberating path. We follow the lamrim, the stages of the path to enlightenment. We engage in those contemplations and meditations, and we achieve the state beyond sorrow, nirvana. Yeah? Cause and effect. Delusions cause suffering. A spiritual path causes pure happiness. Yeah? So when we understand that these things exist because they function, and at the same time we understand that they're completely empty of existing from their own side, the samsara we normally see doesn't exist, the nirvana we normally see doesn't exist, the causes and effects we normally see don't exist. When we understand that, and we're very comfortable with that, we feel very okay with that juxtaposition of these two, looks like two things, yeah, but they're not, it's one thing. When we understand this, then we've understood correctly the correct view of emptiness, and we've entered the path that pleases all the Buddhas, delights all the Buddhas. So this means we have to accept, we have to clearly understand that a cause will produce an effect. But that cause does not exist inherently from its own side, neither does the effect exist from its own side. Everything is empty of existing from its own side. The causes we normally see do not exist. The seed of the tree we normally see does not exist. The tree we normally see does not exist. The cause and effect that are perceived to be inherently existent, or the causes and effects we normally see, they do not exist. But causes exist. How does a cause exist? As a mere name. The seed is just mere name, seed. Somehow, it gives rise to a tree. We want to believe there's something in that seed, or something in the tree that makes it a tree. There's something in the seed that makes it the potential for a tree. But if we search in the seed, we'll never find like some mini tree in there. We'll never find anything. And yet, somehow, the seed, together with the other conditions, produces a tree. Yeah? So when we're comfortable with this understanding, what does it say? When you clearly see phenomena, like samsara nirvana, you clearly see cause and effect, as they exist, as mere name. And at the same time, you perceive that all the phenomena you normally see do not exist. Okay, you hold them both together and you're quite relaxed about that. Yeah, I get it. Everything's empty. There are no things from their own side. All phenomena the things I normally see do not exist. But all the causes and effects, the samsara and nirvana, they all produce their results. If we're happy with that, we're content with that, this is how everything works, then we've entered the path of the correct view of emptiness, thus delighting all the Buddhas. Then there's more. Because there's many ways of looking at this. Jason Karpa's verses are so powerful here. He says, if you perceive and believe that the appearance, phenomena, and the emptiness of phenomena are dualistic, you have not yet realized Buddha's intention. Okay, so in the verse we just looked at, he's saying if you can do these things, you can bring together the mere absence of the things you normally see, and seeing that causes and effects work, if you can bring that together, you have entered the path. On the other hand, if you still see the appearance and the emptiness of the phenomenon as separate, dualistic, this is what dualistic means. It means the chair and the emptiness of the chair appear as two objects. If we have that, we haven't got it. We've still got some misunderstanding there. Still don't understand that these two in reality are one object. Okay? He says dualistic means the phenomenon, the chair or the table, and its emptiness are two objects. That's dualistic thinking. So with these words, Jason Karpa is saying that if we perceive and believe appearance and emptiness are dualistic, we have not yet realized Buddha's intention. We still haven't got it. So we're still holding, as I said, we meditate on the emptiness of our body. Okay, body, body, body. Okay, and then we get to the emptiness of the body, empty space like emptiness. Oh, emptiness of the body. And then we stop meditating and we look at the body again. And we think, oh, here's my body. But there's the emptiness of the body. Okay, because we understand now, we did some meditation on emptiness. But if we think, if we believe, we perceive and believe these two to be separate, to be different, you know, that's dualistic. If we see them as two objects, there's the body and there's the emptiness of the body. These are two objects. It's wrong. Mistaken, you know. The body is simply the emptiness of the body appearing as a body. That's the truth. That's the complete truth. Yeah. So we need to apply effort. Krishna says, we need to apply effort to realize Buddha's ultimate intention, which is to realize non-dual appearance and emptiness. Yes, this is difficult. I agree. But, you know, there's no higher benefit that we can gain than by gaining this realization. Because with this realization, all our problems solved permanently.